On this last day of his trip to Europe, President Bush met with Russian President Vladimir Putin, a meeting viewed with great anticipation. How strongly would President Bush confront President Putin over concerns that the Russian leader has rolled back democracy in his country? Would they find common ground on nuclear proliferation issues regarding Iran and North Korea, as well as keeping nuclear arms out of the hands of terrorists? After their meeting, the two leaders gave a news conference in a medieval castle in Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia. Joining us to help explain what it all means is NPR's diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman. Hello, Michelle.
How are you?
Let's start with and listen to a little bit of what the president's had to say today. We'll begin with President Bush. He started with the issue of nuclear proliferation.
And we agreed that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon. And I appreciate it. Vladimir's understanding on that issue, had a very constructive dialogue about how to achieve that common goal. We agreed that North Korea should not have a nuclear weapon. And again, this is an area where we're working closely together as two nations of the five nations that are involved with North Korea.
And Michelle, they agreed that Iran does not need a nuclear weapon, or shouldn't have one. Is that really Russia's position?
Well, while they said that, Vladimir Putin, you might remember, met just last week with Iran's top nuclear negotiator, and he said basically he thinks Iran is not developing nuclear weapons. So he sided with Iran very close to this meeting with President Bush. It was going to be a tough issue. Neither President Bush nor Putin were pressed on this issue at their news conference. They made that opening statement, very vague language, hard to tell really if they've come to any kind of agreement, but or if they've really bridged these perception gaps, which have been very big. The Russians don't perceive Iran as much of a threat as the U.S. does.
And Russia has been providing materials for Iran to complete a nuclear power plant at Bushehr, at the head of the Persian Gulf.
At Bushehr. A lot of the debate over that has been ironed out in the past. It might not be the main source of the conflict, but it has been a source of controversy with U.S.-Russian relations in the past. But there's also other questions about how much Russia is cooperating with Iran in other areas.
It was pointed out by Vladimir Putin just a couple of days ago that there had been no a major agreement signed between the United States and Russia in a long time. Today, the U.S. and Russia signed an agreement to help stop the spread of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles. How big a deal is that?
Well, I mean, these aren't the summits of the past, for sure. The agreements are much smaller in scale. It's much more personal. These aren't the big U.S.-Soviet...
Not exactly SALT III.
Exactly. This one is about the proliferation of man pads, as they're called, these shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles. And the idea, of course, is to keep them out of the hands of terrorists. There were some other agreements that they made today. They said they'd share information about improvised explosive devices. They promised to work on energy cooperation, which we've heard many times before. They've made big promises in the past about that, and little has come of it. And, of course, the energy market in Russia is in a flux with the Yukos affair now.
That's the big oil company in Russia that was basically taken over by the government.
That's right, and taken apart, and the CEO remains in jail. The other issue, of course, is loose nukes. That was one of the keys today. The two agreed to work on security upgrades at nuclear facilities, but there seemed to be no real breakthrough on a lot of the bureaucratic obstacles that have been holding up this work on what's called the Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, or the Nunn-Lugar program, as it's commonly referred to, from the senators who started it. There are issues like liability questions that have halted work on a plutonium disposition project, which was announced back in 1998 when then Presidents Clinton and Yeltsin met. So they haven't seemed to make much progress on that front. So really a mixed bag, you know, some small movement in these very critical areas, but not any major agreements.
And then what could be described as the major ideological issue of the day, democracy. A little curious to hear the leaders from Washington and Moscow debating democracy, but that was the dominant theme of the news conference today. This is what President Bush had to say, and we'll also hear President Putin's response.
I think it's very important that All nations understand the great values inherent in democracy, rule of law, and protection of minorities, viable political debate. And as when I brought that, I don't want to put words in, Vladimir can speak for himself on this issue, but all I can tell you is he said yes meant yes when we talked about values that we share.
Russia has made its choice in favor of democracy 14 years ago, independently, without any pressure from outside. It made that decision in the interests of itself, in the interests of its people, of its citizens. This is our final choice, and we have no way back.
No way back from democracy. That is not the impression that many observers have of what's going on in Russia.
Well, certainly not. But President Putin, the way he described it, he says democracy is not anarchy. Democracy shouldn't mean the collapse of the state. It shouldn't mean the impoverishment of the people. This is things that we've heard from him in the past. He said that they paid a lot of attention to these issues, and what he used this news conference to say that the impression that other countries have, our partner countries have, as he referred to them, about what's happening in Russia is just not the right one. And he gave an example. You might remember that he decided to get rid of direct elections for regional governors.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he described it today was, the president's not going to appoint these governors. We're going to let regional parliaments vote on the Kremlin's choices, essentially. And he said he compared that to the electoral college system here in the U.S. He said that's constitutional here. Why not in Russia? So, this is something that a lot of analysts I've been speaking with and U.S. officials say Putin is very good at, that you bring up criticism and he brings back complaints about what's going on in the U.S. So when the Americans bring up Yukos, as we mentioned, this oil company, Putin will respond with, well, what about Enron? And it goes back and forth like this. And it seems to have been the case in this meeting today, certainly at the news conference.
Right. Well, you mentioned Yukos, a case which is taken as an example of what many people say is a recentralization of the economy. You mentioned these decision on the regional governors. That's taken by many people as a suggestion of increasing political centralization. The other big issue that came up in the news conference today was the free press. And that has many independent outlets throughout Russia, certainly broadcast outlets, aren't independent anymore.
That's right, but we had somebody from Interfax News Agency who was defending the Russian press, essentially, and put President Bush on the defensive in some ways. President Bush said when he brought up the issue of Russian media, he said he did bring this up in private with Vladimir Putin, that Vladimir Putin wanted to know about the press in America. So you had this strange situation of President Bush defending the American media here.
So neither of us obviously were there. Is there any way to know, and this was the big issue before the meeting, is there any way to know how hard President Bush pressed Putin on these issues of democratic reform?
Well, President Bush was certainly under a lot of pressure to do so because he made such a focus on spreading democracy in his inaugural address.
And the end of tyranny.
And it was clearly the focus of all of the talks, the questions at this news conference. But again, you get the sense by listening to them that President Bush did in fact raise these concerns, maybe not in a case-by-case way, but in general way, and, across the board, media, elections, the economy, a lot of these issues, but didn't seem to get very far in persuading his friend to change his views. President Putin, on the other hand, he did say that he respected some of the ideas that he heard from President Bush today, and he'll pay attention. But he also said he doesn't think these issues should be pushed to the foreground or create new problems in relations.
What about the atmospherics? I mean, famously, after their first meeting, President Bush said he had looked into Vladimir Putin's soul. Was it chummy today?
They called each other they spoke to each other on a first-name basis, so it was Vladimir and George. They did continue that, but the body language was very different. President Putin seemed a much more defensive mode than he had been in the past. And I also should say that an interesting thing about this, the president had a speech earlier in the day in Bratislava where he spoke to the champions of freedom, he called them, which I assume mean the democracy activists in Central Europe. And he really pressed much more aggressively on this point in that address than he did publicly with President Bush. He talked about the advance of freedom in Central Europe and how it's now swept into former Soviet countries, Georgia and Ukraine, obviously, the main examples of that.
And cited what used to be Czechoslovakia as the Velvet Revolution, as the sort of parallels he drew between that and what's going on in Iraq.
That's right, what you called the Purple Revolution, which I guess means the ink on the fingers here. But the and then, of course, the ones in the former Soviet republics, we have the Rose Revolution in Georgia, Orange Revolution in Ukraine. And he said Moldova is going to be the next big test because they're having elections soon. These are all, you know, countries that Russia considers it the near abroad. And it's been a very interesting sort of tense situation there between these two men on how they view the changes going on in the former Soviet republics.
Michelle Kellerman, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
NPR diplomatic correspondent Michelle Kellerman joined us here in Studio 3A.